James again this morning. Last week we had a message called Let It Be. Sounds like a Beatles song, doesn't it? The lets of James chapter 1. Let patience have its perfect work in you. Sometimes it's kind of hard to be patient, isn't it? Lord, I need patience and I need it right now. But we found that in James chapter 1 that when we let patience have its perfect work, that the very fact that we have to wait sometimes is the vehicle that God makes us into the image of Christ when we are patiently waiting. I, for one, don't like trials. I don't think most people do. It's not a pleasurable thing to have a trial. But the idea is that if I patiently endure it, it will bring the peaceable fruits of righteousness, and I do like that. So I let patience have its perfect work. Well, and if you'd like to hear that, that's on our website, so you can listen to any of our sermons out there. Today we're going to look in James chapter 1 again, looking into the perfect law of liberty. So if you have your Bibles, turn with me to James chapter 1. We're going to begin reading in verse 22. Be doers of the word and not hearers only, deceiving yourself. For if anyone is a hearer of the word and not a doer, he's like a man observing his natural face in a mirror, for he observes himself and he goes away and immediately forgets what kind of man he was. But he who looks into the perfect law of liberty and continues in it and is not a forgetful hearer but a doer of the word, this one will be blessed in what he does. Amen. Let's pray. Father, thank you for your word. Thank you, Lord, that your word is put there to shine your light upon our hearts and to show us what we really are. And Lord, help us to do more than be a hearer of the word, but a doer also. We ask it all in Jesus' name. Amen. So this law of liberty, this we call the Bible, the law, looking into the word of God, we find that we can be a hearer of the word and not a doer, or we can be a hearer and a doer. And some of us, maybe if we don't read our Bible often, aren't even a hearer, right? Back over in James 4, he says in 4:11, speak not evil of one another, brethren. He that speaks evil of his brother and judges his brother speaks evil of the law and judges the law. But if you judge the law, you're not a doer of the law, but a judge. So he's kind of winding this up by chapter 4, this huge theme on being a doer and not just a hearer. But he says that if you judge your brother, that you're really not a doer of the word. Well, sometimes we fall into that, don't we? Sometimes we do judge one another. It's real easy to judge people compared to myself, but, you know, because I might say, well, look at that person, I'm better than that person. But the Bible tells us we're not supposed to judge that way. We're supposed to judge the way God judges, you know, and when I compare myself to God, I'm not all that. I fall way short, and so do you. And so we're not to be a judge, because when we judge, we're judging the law. We're just to be a doer and let God judge. We must let God judge, let the word judge, and then when we do that, we're a doer of the word. A doer of the word is more concerned with their own walk than someone else's. That's what a doer is. A doer gets the speck out of their own eye instead of trying to take the log out of someone else. A doer is that poor sinner that Jesus talked about when he said the Pharisee stood on the street corner and said, God, I thank you, I'm not like all the others. But over here on this corner is this guy who's just beating his chest and saying, God, have mercy on me, a sinner. And he wouldn't so much as even lift his eyes to heaven. And Jesus said, that guy went home justified. Justified. Declared not guilty by God. Not because he was a spiritual giant. He wasn't. He was a sinner, but he was real. He understood he was a sinner. He beat his chest. He asked God for mercy. And, you know, I have found no matter how bad I get, if I just ask God to be merciful, he's so willing to give his mercy to me. Those are the doers of the word. Those are the real spiritual giants. the people who are genuine, the people who are real, the people who are honest with themselves and acknowledge exactly where they're at. Of course, compare that, as I said, to the Pharisee. The Pharisees are the judgmental people. They're not the doers. They're just the hearers. I mean, the Pharisees knew in Jesus' day, they were the religious crowd. They knew the word. They were the most educated scholars of their Bible in their day. So they were hearers, but they weren't doers. In fact, Jesus told his disciples, listen to what they say, but don't do what they practice. Because they weren't doers. They were hearers only, deceiving themselves. We live in an age where recently, you know, the Supreme Court voted on the issue of homosexuality. And I'm not here to defend it, and I'm certainly not here to condemn it. We know what the Bible says. We just read, let the word judge, right? But the issue is not really about that. The issue is about legislating morality. I've had people come to me and say, what do you say to those people? Well, I'm not in a position to legislate morality because I can't change anyone's heart, right? You can't legislate morality. You cannot legislate morality. We are not called to legislate morality. We are called to preach Jesus Christ and Him crucified. Amen? Because He is the only one who can change the human heart. I can speak intellectually to someone, but that doesn't do anything. So we are called to preach Jesus Christ and Him crucified, and then let Jesus be the judge and let Him change the heart. He's able. I'm not. In Matthew chapter 7, Jesus said, not everyone that says to me, Lord, Lord, shall enter into the kingdom of heaven, but he that does the will of my Father which is in heaven. There's that doer again. Many will say to me in that day, Lord, Lord, have we not prophesied in your name, and in your name cast out devils, and in your name done many wonderful works? And then I will profess unto them, I never knew you. Depart from me, you worker of iniquity. Now listen to what they're saying. They're saying, we did this, and we did this, and we did this. But Jesus said, you are a worker of iniquity, a worker of sin. Isn't that crazy? Isn't it funny how people, religious people, church-going people, can perceive themselves as being one thing, but in God's eyes, they are something totally different. They're a hearer of the word, but clearly in this text, they weren't really doing the will of the Father. I call it speaking Christianese. You know, you got Chinese and all these other languages, even Christianese. You know, people have been around churches, they can praise the Lord, glory God, hallelujah, thank you, Jesus. They can speak Christianese. And they can put on a good front, and they can act real spiritual. But cut them off in traffic, and you see the real fruit. Amen? And so, Jesus said, when He comes, there's going to be some people who are surprised. Because they could speak Christianese and they could lay hands on people and they could pray great oratory prayers, but they weren't doing the will of the Father. One of the things that when Jesus came, He took a lot of flack from the religious crowd because He was hanging around sinners. And He said, the Son of Man came to seek and save that which is lost. He told us that the good shepherd would leave 99 and go after the one lost sheep. That's the heart of the Father, to reach the lost, not to act spiritual. So in our text, as we read in verse 22, be a doer of the word and not a hearer only, He says, deceiving yourself. Have you ever tricked yourself, deceived yourself? Is it possible to deceive yourself? The Bible says you can. You can deceive yourself. You know, sometimes I really get turned off by these guys that act real spiritual. I was talking to a friend the other day, and I said, you know, there's a lot of people who take, a lot of ministers who take themselves way too seriously. You know, and that's where you start seeing people having to push people over because when they lay hands on them, they're not falling over, so I'm going to push them over because, you know, I'm the man of God, right? You know, hooey. I don't want to bite. Pushing people over. If God's going to knock them down, God's able. He's not that weak. And so, somewhere along the lines, people who maybe at one time had a relationship with God, maybe at one time were sincere, they get caught up in all of the hula. And they deceive themselves. They think they take themselves too seriously. They think they're something when they're nothing. And so we need to keep our eyes on the Lord. We need to not just be a hearer of the word, but a doer only. Why do you say that, Brother Roger? Because Jeremiah 17:9 says, the heart is deceivingly above all things, wicked, desperate, wicked, and who can know it? I can be tricked. I can be fooled by my own deceitful heart. I can think I'm something that I'm not. And you know, I'd rather know before the day of judgment, wouldn't you? Jesus told a parable of a sower. A man went forth to sow seeds. And some fell on good ground, and some fell on stony ground, and some fell on the wayside, and some birds of the air came and took the seed and flew off with it. And then he began to explain what this meant. He said, the seed is the word of God. It's the preached word of God. Some preacher preaching God's word. And the soil is men's hearts, and some people's hearts are soft, and some people's hearts are hard. And some people the stony heart or the weeds grow up, or the cares of the world that choke out it, and the demons are the birds. Demons are always birds for some reason. And they come and they steal the word, you know. You hear it, but then it's gone. And, oh, boy, that really, what did that preacher say? I really was feeling something. I don't remember. Oh, well. And so it steals the word so you don't get saved. And he said, if you understand this parable, you will understand everything you need to know about the kingdom of God. That one parable holds the key to understanding spiritual things. You know, that's why Jesus, after the resurrection, told his disciple, go into all the world and preach the gospel, because you're just a sower spreading seeds. I can't control the condition of people's hearts. I can't control anything else. All my job is to do is sow the seed. And your job is to break up the fallow ground. If you've got a hard heart, you need to repent. That's your job. I can't repent for you. If you have a lot of cares of the world that could choke out the seed, you need to reprioritize some things in your life. I can't do that for you. But he said, you understand this, this will explain everything there is about spiritual things. And so just as a farmer has to water and care for what he's planted, so then we must do the same thing. The Bible says in Proverbs 4:23, keep your heart with all diligence, for out of it is the issues of life. And just as a gardener has to pull the weeds, and just as a gardener has to turn the soil, then we are each responsible for keeping our heart so that God can continue to speak to our heart, so that we can be more than just a hearer of the word, but a doer also. Have you ever heard the still small voice of God? It's kind of hard to hear sometimes. And depending on how busy you are, it can be even harder. It's called in the Bible the still small voice of God. It's this very subtle thing in the back of your mind. Sometimes you even think it's your own thoughts. One time I was driving to Muskogee years ago when Harrison, my middle child, was in high school at Tahlequah High, and he was a wrestler for a while. He did a little bit of everything. This is the son that always jumps and then thinks, you know, no fear. But I was driving to Muskogee, and I wasn't sure where it came from. And all I heard in the back of my mind, the still small voice, that said, Harrison's been hit by a car. And I at first I thought it was a devil, you know, so you start rebuking the devil. So anyway, I didn't think anything about it. I mean, you know, part of me just thought, well, it was just your own thought, or I rebuked the devil. So that night, you know, we're all sitting around the kitchen table, we're eating dinner, and Harrison said, oh, by the way, Dad, I got hit by a car today. I said, are you serious? I heard that going to work. He goes, yeah, the coach was making us run up, well, I don't know what that road is back behind the high school where that mini storage is, you know. And he said, some car came by and kind of sideswiped me, and I rolled off in the grass, but I'm fine. The still small voice of God. It's so hard to hear sometimes. It's called the still small voice. And this still small voice of God is wanting us to focus in. Amen? He's wanting to tell us something that God wants us to hear. Have you ever had a dream in the middle of the night? And you knew it was God, and you woke up and you said, I should have wrote that down. Because the next morning what happens? It's gone, right? And does that happen to you? Or maybe you read a verse, or maybe you heard a sermon, and that sermon really spoke to you. And then like two or three days later, you know, what did the pastor preach? I said, oh, I don't know, but it's so good. I felt like God really was speaking to me. And I can't remember what it was, though. That just bugs me. Well, that's what happens. We hear the word, but we can forget. It's like the guy who sees his face in a mirror and then walks away and forgets what he looked like. And so James is telling us that's not the kind of person you want to be. So how do we overcome those kind of things? In the book of Haggai, I love the book of Haggai. Most people don't even know where the book of Haggai is at. But Haggai was a cool dude. It was the time the Babylonian captivity was ending, and they were all going back to Israel to rebuild. And they started out, you know, Ezra and Nehemiah, they started out, they're building the temple, they're getting the temple all built. And then all of a sudden, they lost interest in it, and they all started building their own house. You know, the local Jerusalem Lowe's was doing great business, and all the home improvement stuff was going on, and people were getting paneling. That was, you know, what was the Israel version of the 70s, I guess, you know. I think my dad still has the paneling up on their house in West Tulsa from the 70s, you know. And so God brings Haggai and he says, is it time for you to put paneling on your walls when the house of God is still not done? Consider your ways. He says, is it really time for you to do this? Don't you know that I can make the money you put in your pockets fall out through holes? Don't you know that I could blow it all away? Consider your ways, Haggai told him. Because the people had lost their priority with God. All of a sudden, they were caught up in the age. And isn't that just like it is today? Lowe's is still doing a booming business. And I'm not saying it's a sin to fix your house up. But, you know, our first priority is to fix this house up. Our first priority is to make sure the soil of my heart is right. My first priority is not to just be a hearer of the word, but a doer of the word also. And so we come to verse 25 again in our text. Verse 25 says, but he who looks into the perfect law of liberty and continues in it and is not a forgetful hearer but a doer of the word, this one will be blessed in what he does. And isn't that what we want? Don't we want to be blessed? And so Psalms 19:7 says, the law of the Lord is perfect, converting the soul. The testimony of the Lord is sure, making wise the simple. You know, one of the things that preachers often get a reputation of doing is just constantly, they call us Bible thumpers, telling you, read your Bible, Bible thumper. But, you know, the reality is, if you really believe this is the Word of God, why would you not want to read it? The law of the Lord is perfect, converting the soul. Romans 7:12 says, wherefore, the law is holy and the commandments are holy, just and good. They're good. It's a good thing. And it says that, you know, if we can get to the place where we're not just a hearer but a doer also, that's the path of blessing, our text says. In Romans 7:14, we know that the law is spiritual, but I'm carnal, sold under sin. And so if I am carnally minded, if I am a sinner, and I know that God is holy and I'm not holy, then the connection between a holy God and a carnal me is the holy word of God, which is the engrafted word that's able to change my life. Amen. To look into the law of liberty, to look into that mirror and see God. It's a spiritual battle sometimes to read the Word of God. How many of you guys have ever tried to read your Bible after a long day, maybe lying in bed? And Jesus said, you know, that's about as far as you get. Kind of like when Jesus told the disciples, can't you watch with me 1 hour? Yeah, Lord, we're going to pray with you. You know, falling asleep. And so it's a spiritual battle to get in the Word. It's a spiritual battle to look into the perfect law of liberty. It's a spiritual battle, but it's worth it. It's a priority. And, you know, sometimes even the verses that seem the most obscure, if it's all God's Word, then God's got something for us. Amen. I remember one time, several years ago, I was sitting at Del Rancho, the coffee shop south of town. On my way to work, I'd go there early sometimes and have my Bible, and I'd be reading. And I'm going through the Bible, you know, reading every day. And I'm in, I don't know, 1st, 2nd Chronicles, wherever it's at, where it talks about everything that Solomon used to build the temple. Now, this is inspiring verses. 4,000 bushels of this and 5,000 pounds of that and so many cedars. And I'm thinking, Lord, what am I going to get out of this? And I'm reading it because it's the Word, and I'm being faithful, but it's not inspiring me at all. And it says when it came to the brass that it couldn't be weighed. There was so much brass, it couldn't be weighed. And I said, well, I guess we'll never know how much the brass weighed. Lord, almost cynical, you know, because I'm having to read this stuff. And immediately the Lord speaks to me and says, yes, you'll know when you get to heaven. And he brought me, my mind, to the verse in Corinthians that says, our light affliction has a far more eternal weight in glory. And brass represents affliction. It's the living word. Even things like that can be made alive when the Holy Spirit breathes on it and speaks to your heart. And that's that engrafted word. That's that law of liberty that we should be looking into to be more than just a hearer of the word, but a doer also. Amen? Now, how many of you guys have ever had someone show you a picture of yourself and you go, oh, that's not me? Or, you know, or you see a video of yourself and they say, TV adds 10 pounds to you. Guess what? It's not the TV, it's really you. Right? And so you're like, oh my gosh, do I really look like that? Well, see, that whole mirror thing that God is speaking about here is how we can see ourselves differently, but the Word of God shines a light on me that shows me what I really am. Amen? And I can say, well, I'm not so bad. I'm not as bad as him. But when I get into the Word of God and I compare myself to the righteousness of God, then I say, woe is me. I'm a man of unclean lips. You know, that's what Isaiah said in the year King Uzziah died. He saw the Lord, and when he saw the Lord, he said, yikes, I am an unclean man. Right? When Peter saw the miracle of Jesus did, he said, depart from me, Lord. I'm a sinner. I don't want to be around you. When we start getting in the presence of God, then we see ourselves like that camera, like that video. We see ourselves as we really are and not how we perceive ourselves to be. Otherwise, we deceive ourselves. We think we're okay, but maybe we're not. And so we need the Word of God to keep us. Amen? Hallelujah. Joshua 23:6, be ye therefore very courageous and keep to do all that is written in the book of the law of Moses, that ye turn neither aside from the left or from the right. Staying focused, keeping the priorities, keeping the main thing, not get distracted by your building program. Hallelujah. You know, how many of you guys have ever looked at a Gideon Bible? Maybe in hotels. When I was in the military, they would give us those little pocket New Testaments that was put in there by the Gideons. And I loved that thing. And, you know, in the front of it, it had a flag, and it had the Pledge of Allegiance. And then it had this little two-page paragraph that I just absolutely loved. And I found it online. I want to read it to you. It says, the Bible contains the mind of God, the state of man, the way of salvation, the doom of sinners, and the happiness of believers. Its doctrine is holy, its precepts are binding, its histories are true, and its decisions are immutable. Read it to be wise, believe it to be safe, and practice it to be holy. It contains light to direct you, food to support you, and comfort to cheer you. It's the traveler's map, the pilgrim's staff, the pilot's compass, the soldier's sword, and the Christian's charter. Here too, heaven is open and the gates of hell disclosed. Christ is its grand subject, our good design, and the glory of God its end. It should fill the memory, rule the heart, and guide your feet. Read it slowly, frequently, and prayerfully. It is a mine of wealth, a paradise of glory, and a river of pleasure. It's given to you in life. It'll be open in judgment and be remembered forever. It involves the highest responsibility, rewards the greatest labor, and will condemn all who trifle with its sacred content. It is the mirror of God, showing you exactly what you are and what you need to be. Not a hearer of the word, but a doer also. So we don't compare ourselves to others. We don't judge others. We let God do that. We look into the perfect law of liberty, and we ask God to judge us now, so that we can be ready when the Lord comes. In Hebrews chapter 4, verse 12, it says, "For the word of God is quick and powerful and sharper than any two-edged sword, piercing, even to the dividing asunder of soul and spirit and joint and marrow, and it is a discerner of the thoughts and the intents of the heart." Amen. So when I read my Bible prayerfully, slowly, as the Gideon said, it begins to show me, it begins to shine its light on me, and I see who I really am and how I need to live. Back when the kids were little and we lived back up on, back near your mom back there, I remember we had one of those vanities in the bathroom that had four light bulbs in it, and being the mature, responsible husband I was, I didn't change the first bulb when it burned out. I didn't even change it when the second bulb burned out. I think it was on its last bulb. And so finally, I had no choice. So I put all the bulbs in there. And the next morning, and I was much younger then, I went to shave and I put the shaving cream in my hand, raised it up, and all of a sudden overnight, all these little wrinkles showed up. They weren't there yesterday. How did this happen? Well, they were there. It's just that the light got so dim that I never saw it until all of a sudden all the lights were on. And that's the way it is with the law of liberty. When I begin to look in the law of liberty, the light of God begins to show my flaws. And I begin to see who I really am. Amen. Now, a good example of how people don't want to read their Bible, don't want to look in the law of liberty, is when Jesus had this crazy statement. Come on up, Nola. He said, "If you don't eat my flesh and drink my blood, you can't have any part of me." Remember that? And at that time, he had about 120 followers, I think, something like that. And every one of them left except his disciples. Boy, sometimes I feel for him. Sometimes I can relate. Just when Faith Fellowship is starting to grow, you know, you got families. Well, we're moving here and we're moving there. And you're like, oh, Lord. Jesus looked at his disciples and he said, "Are you going to leave too?" And I love what Peter said, "Lord, you alone have the words of eternal life." And doesn't he? Jesus Christ has the words of eternal life. And so we pray this morning, Lord, that you help us to make you a priority again. As Haggai said, consider our ways and to begin to make God and his word a priority again. If you are really coming soon, and we believe you are, then this should be a wake-up call to not deceive ourselves by thinking we're okay, but to make the word of God a priority, to look in the perfect law of liberty, let the mirror of God show me who I really am, and then do more than just see it and hear it, but respond to it, Lord, that I might be a doer of the word. In Jesus' name, amen.